Live from the Ghost Hunter Store, brought to you by the Shadowlands, South Jersey Ghost Research, and the Ghost Hunter Store. Here's some paranormal straight talk with your hosts, Dave Giuliano and Marty Haynes.
Everybody, we're back. Another week's gone by. I sound enthused. Again, I've only been up for 2 hours, so which is twice as long as last week.
Yeah, this is good.
So again, I have special helpers here. As always, Marty Haynes is with me.
How you doing, everybody?
And now this week we have Kim Petrak, team leader, and Again, although different title this week, is assistant director of South Jersey Ghost Research, Amanda McCaw.
Yay.
Affectionately known as Mandy. And our special guest this week, our very special guest, Lori Hall, psychic medium and director of Tri-County Paranormal?
That's right.
Okay.
I'm in charge.
Let's jump right into the psychic medium thing.
All right, there you go.
See, here's the big question. This is the question I always have.
Dave wants us to find.
Yes, because people ask, it becomes a question, and people don't understand. Sometimes people want, like, a reading. So they want a medium.
Right.
The general public doesn't understand the difference between someone who's psychic or a medium. And then you have it combined together.
Yes.
And I've seen it even with the hyphen, too. I thought you had the hyphen in there, but I've seen other people with the hyphen at the slash, like psychic medium. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that's like one word, or does that mean there are two things, and that's the hyphen? So very complicated. So
yes.
You are a medium and a psychic.
Yes.
Okay.
I would say so.
So what's the difference to you, anyway?
All mediums are usually psychic, but not all psychics are mediums.
I've heard that before.
Yes.
That doesn't sound like a legitimate answer.
But it's true.
It's true.
That you see, that's what the difference was. I'm trying to get into the difference.
She's just talking around it. She doesn't want to answer.
Mediums are able to communicate with spirits of the departed.
Yes.
Like you're being deceptive.
Not all psychics can communicate with spirits of dead people.
So it's like what I always tell people is that, like, that's what it is. It's the mediums are talking to dead people, whoever comes through.
Right.
You know, the psychics, they're picking up on things that may be in a location. They're not necessarily making contact with something that might be around a person.
Or the energy is around a person.
Right.
Which are not always dead people.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
They can pick up on the energies that are in a house, and like in one case that we had, we picked up that the person, there were two houses that were experiencing activity, one across the street from the other, and I was able to pick up on the fact that the wife of the one house was having an affair with the husband of the other house. Didn't have to be a medium to pick that up.
That'll do it.
Definitely a psychic thing.
So does it like help or hamper, you think, doing like paranormal investigation? Because do you get spirit when you're doing like a regular investigation? Do you get spirits that are coming through that have messages like for the people there because they know that you can communicate?
Sometimes I do. I try to have another medium or another psychic medium with me so that I can concentrate on running the investigation more than doing the psychic work. But I'll help them out.
Because I think that would be distracting. That's probably, well, it's one of the reasons why I've never looked towards like doing
it
the medium stuff.
It is distracting.
It's like you're already concentrating on doing something else, and then someone's like calling. It's like someone calling you while you're on the case, you know, and when they interfere.
Tapping on your shoulder.
Well, I have a problem. No. Sometimes
do you
the
get
equipment,
that too?
I'll put the equipment out and just forget it's there sometimes because I'm getting everything here, and the equipment just, you forget to take pictures sometimes.
Where's your card at? Do you have psychic medium on yours too?
No, I have medium intuitive.
What's a medium intuitive?
Yeah, what is a medium intuitive?
Same thing. Same, pick up on the energies just like everything else.
It's
but
a
I can
fancy
also,
name.
It is.
Well, it's like I don't use psychic.
I use intuitive. Because I use intuitive only because psychic people, when you say psychic, some people say, oh, you can read my mind.
No,
I can't read your mind. But if you just take that out of it, then I don't have to explain.
Well,
it.
We
then
might be able to
read
your
mind.
We might be able to read your mind.
If you're putting off the energies.
But
right.
Most so, people don't want to read their mind.
See, that's
the difference between a psychic and a sensitive.
See, to me, it's they're one and the same. I usually don't say psychic because people, I guess people who don't understand the whole, people from outside the field tend to look at that word with a like it lacks credibility. They think Dionne Warwick, Psychic Friends Network.
Right.
You know, or the old gypsy lady with the crystal ball. I mean, they get so many different things from TV and movies, they think of the wrong thing.
Oh, yeah, because they don't get anything about paranormal investigating from TV and movies.
Only the truth from TV and movies.
That's right.
I've learned everything that I know from TV and movies.
That's scary.
I found out I was using all the equipment wrong all these years.
I'm sure you
just are. From the last 3 years of TV.
You use a motion sensor wrong, a motion camera, I know that.
Yeah.
You don't carry it around with you.
Right, and the tri-field, I didn't know you could just walk around with that and point it everywhere.
Sure.
Because it does go off a lot more when you walk around with it.
Well, I found out that you don't need psychics. You can actually use a K2 meter to talk to ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
Well, everybody knows that.
You can also use a Ouija board.
Or a flashlight.
Yes, you can use a flashlight. That's right. And I spent all that money on equipment.
We had a group here.
All I really needed was a flashlight.
We had a couple groups here, actually. They were doing the flashlight test. And it's like, and they were trying to show me how much stuff they were
getting.
They're
trying to convince
you. And I'm like, I'll be convinced when it starts pressing the button.
Yeah,
that's
turn
on and off. When I hear the clicking,
then
I'll say, okay, but you spend like 5 minutes just getting it just to the right thing. It's just detecting vibration, you know? Mm-hmm. Use a geophone or something else. But I get the flashlight is cheaper, though.
It is.
But not as impressive.
We change the name of a flashlight and call it something really cool.
Yeah. Call it a geolite.
Geolite or a thermal imaging spirit detection device or something like that.
Thermal imaging.
Vortex.
So you're also the director of Tri-County Paranormal.
Right.
I guess first let's do the question that everybody asks, because I don't like to answer it.
Oh, God,
so.
I'm scared.
How did you get into the paranormal?
Oh, boy. Long story.
How about the short version, because we only have an hour.
Okay, I'll give you the short version. I had to live, when I was growing up, in a house that was very haunted, and haunted by something that was not nice. And I wanted help with how to deal with it, because I really couldn't stand living there. And for someone who is psychic or sensitive or intuitive, it is a special torture to have to live in a house that's haunted by something not nice. So I was asking people all the time, what do you do if your house is haunted? What if there's a ghost in your house? And everybody either thought I was lying, crazy, or, you know, whatever. I eventually found someone whose mother belonged to Power Study, which is an organization that helps with these kind of things, and she brought me out there, and they were able to give me some advice, because the books in the library were just collections of ghost stories, and offered no help at all. So I wouldn't have that problem today, but then when I was telling everybody about how we dealt with the ghost in my house, and things were better, then people would come to me one-on-one, never in front of other people, because this is back, you know, before you talked about this stuff.
Yeah.
And they would say, my house is haunted. We had something happen in my house. Can you come over and see if you can do something? And that's how it started.
How long has Tri-County been around?
Oh, officially, as a group, I think we've been around since 1998.
How long has Power Studies before
that? Power Studies been there since we just celebrated our 50th anniversary.
Yeah, I remember the first time I ever heard of Power Study was actually Lou Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
When he used to go down and do classes, and he tried to get me to come down with him, and I don't know how many, that had to be like 1999 or 2000, had to be sometime around there,
because
that was when I was living in South Philly. That was the old SJGR with some of our old familiar characters that we know
and love.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of people that send hexes and bad things to other people. So that's why I grew up with the same thing.
Yeah, I did too.
Mine started out just like a normal spirit, but then I had those about 4 or 5 years where it was something bad. And you're right. The books were. I mean, you can learn from the books that were around, but only if you're reading them in a certain way. Otherwise, they were ghost stories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and probably Hans Holzer was probably the one I probably got the most out of.
Oh,
but
yeah,
still,
he was the one I got the most out of. But even with his, it was just like, you know, you can take pictures and you can do recordings, mm-hmm. but that doesn't really help deal with what's going on in the house.
Right. Yeah, it's more or less how to, you know, document it, but nothing to do it. Now, Power Studies, how you went up getting help, right?
Yeah.
So we contacted the university, actually, ultimately, and they were scarier.
Oh, yeah.
Because they wanted to watch us, and we were the subject of their now investigation.
You got lucky. My
research.
Parents contacted a psychologist.
Oh, my parents did that, too.
So did mine.
My parents did, and I guess they said, you know, screw
you're
him.
On your own. You're on your own on this one.
Either that or everyone just decided we're all crazy. And see, we can't say, that's what, you know, you said you weren't crazy and or lying or anything. We just want to put a disclaimer out there. We can't say that she's not crazy.
No, we
or not
well,
a liar.
I might be crazy, but my house was still haunted.
There's a lot of crazy people in this field.
Yeah, there are.
Now, you've written some books, too. I know you brought some with you.
Yeah, in case I have to look at them. If he asks me any questions about
that. That's okay. But Frank last week had to get his printout of his group was around.
That was
stuff. You got more than this, right? Or is this the...
No, that's it. And then
you have another one coming out.
I wrote Kate May Haunts with Dinah Roseberry, and
okay.
I have another one coming out, Supernatural Mid-Atlantic.
And this is that the one the store's in?
Yeah.
Cool. Although I wasn't here for that.
No, I got to interview Marty.
Yeah.
See, someone was here.
Oh, we can do a book signing?
Yeah, maybe we'll have to have a book signing here.
See that?
Yeah, if you ever sell my books.
Well.
Is that cricket noise again?
Yeah, well, okay. What? So mostly it's around Philadelphia and the suburbs, pretty much.
Well, yeah, because that's where I live, and that's where most of the places I go to are. I like to write about places I've actually been to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to write about a place if I've never been there. It seems kind of ridiculous.
So these aren't just your collection of... like people reading a whole bunch of ghost books or surfing web pages and putting together
a bunch of
haunted places.
No, I actually went to all of these places.
Wow.
That's different. There's not many books that are, the author has gone to each individual place and done stuff. That's just, I just actually flipped to the Bluebell Inn, and I remember just driving by that all the time because it sits like alone on that little like island in front of that light. We tried to go out there before years ago. And that was, they said it was flooding, and so we couldn't get
it
at the time.
No, that's the Bluebell Tavern.
Oh, Tavern, okay. Where, have you been there?
The guy who lives there, I think it's owned by Fairmount Park or something.
Yeah,
else.
I think it is part of
that. And they don't want anybody in there.
Yeah.
That's the last I heard. I talked to the guy that lives there.
Because we tried to get in there before, too, and that was the issue. It was, well, maybe that was the excuse.
He's worried about if something happens, somebody gets hurt or something
sure
like that.
You go overseas, too, don't you?
Yeah.
Is that pretty much for entertainment purposes, or...?
I don't go anywhere unless there's some haunted place at the end of the
there
journey.
You
So you're like one of those, a haunted traveler.
Yes.
See, there's your TV show. I know you got in this just for fame and fortune.
Oh, yes. I am so incredibly wealthy.
And the books were just to launch you for your TV show.
Yes.
So the TV show, I think...
Because the
haunted producers traveler
are just beating down my door.
See, as a Travel Channel listening, they don't have a haunted traveler.
Oh, see that?
Someone who actually goes to the places. See, if they have the other people walking around, they're just going to eat some food and sleep in a room, and that's the whole show. I mean, you could do like an investigation or contact the spirits there and
there
do a whole big thing. That's a cool show.
Haunted Traveler.
Yeah. See, I even came up with the name of it. So I want like some sort of like compensation for, you know, that's like my intellectual property, Travel Channel.
It'll be your technical consultant.
Now that you said it over
exactly.
Radio.
Well, that's what usually happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Celebrity ghost stories was my idea. Anyway, I remember you were telling me one story. You had some interesting stuff happen. I think it was Scotland.
Scotland. Yeah.
You were kind of attacked or something?
The one in the...
Was it crypts or something?
It was in some vault.
In the vaults. I've been
in the
underground
in
vaults.
It was actually in the mausoleum.
Where there's something Mackenzie Poltergeist is?
Yeah.
I've been in
there
too.
Yeah. I was in there, and... it was kind of cold. It was kind of chilly outside. Scotland, even though it was in the summer, it, like, never gets warm there.
Yeah, that's what I hear. Yeah.
And it was kind of chilly outside. So I go into the mausoleum where the Mackenzie Poltergeist supposedly is. And, of course, you know, I'm like, hey, Poltergeist, come and get me because I want something to happen because I paid a lot of money to come to Scotland and go into this. And I spent time going on this tour when I could have been out drinking. So... something better happen.
And you got what you asked for, huh?
Well, I went and I walked in. For some reason, I was drawn to the back corner. And the whole group comes in. And then the girl's like, oh, let me know how you feel if anybody changes how you feel. You know, and I'm just standing there. And I felt really, really warm, almost hot. Like it was really sunny and I was all happy and everything. I was like, well, this is a nice feeling. What they're talking about the Mackenzie poltergeist make attacks people and makes people faint and stuff. So I'm standing there, and she asked me how I was feeling, and I said, I actually feel really nice. It's much warmer in here. Everybody looked at me like I was insane because it was still cold, apparently, cold, except yeah. around me. And she said, well, that's how everybody feels right before something happens.
Oops.
So I'm thinking to myself, great, something's going to happen. I can't wait. I'm just sitting there like, come on, do something, poltergeist. I'm sorry. So then everybody starts leaving, and I'm in the back, so I'm waiting till everybody gets out because it's a little thin door, and I go to move, and I can't move, and they're all just leaving, and now I'm like, great, I'm alone with the poltergeist.
You asked for it.
I just felt like something was holding my feet.
Wow.
And I eventually got able to move and ran to catch up with the group. And my ankle hurt really bad. When I looked at it, when I got into the light, there was two bruises on either side of my ankle. And they looked like they were, like, a burn, almost. And the mark stayed on my ankle for, like, a year.
Wow.
It never went away.
Not going to ask for that one again, are you?
I still wish something would have happened.
Oh, that wasn't enough.
That was, yeah. Nothing happened.
Yeah, but it's not like I got a picture or a recording of the poltergeist.
You had a mark on your legs for
a
year.
The last of the year, but nothing happened.
See, so you're perfect for the TV shows. Right in. Come on, poltergeist, do something to me. Yes, is that all you can do?
Come on.
You can just mark my leg and paralyze me temporarily?
I was looking for something, I guess, more dramatic.
Is that
what
you got?
I guess most people would have been scared, but I was a little bit disappointed.
That's a shame when we get to that point, right?
That's when you know you've been doing it too long. See, that's what...
All? You just put marks on me? Like, what happens to me? Not often, but enough.
Well, but if you think about it, if you did do something and you got scared and you wanted to run away, you couldn't.
Oh, that's true.
Well, it didn't last permanently, so
it didn't last permanently.
It was only for a year. It was okay.
It's like going on a roller coaster. I mean, you go on and get scared and get that adrenaline feeling. You know, that's what the excitement and the fun is that the rush.
I have sneakers on for a reason.
Well, the best part of what happened in Scotland was that I got some kind of spirit attachment from the Southbridge Vault. And as soon as I came back, all my psychic friends were like, what is wrong with you? You have this thing around you. And I said, I know. Something followed me from the Southbridge Vault.
And I know it's illegal to bring back any kind of stuff, like, biological stuff anyway, across international lines.
Yeah, I know. I was telling one of my friends in Scotland that something followed me home. He's like, don't be stealing our ghosts.
We got it now.
I was in those vaults, and I remember when we went down there, it was like a big group. And, big group down there, and the tour guide person, he's like in the front. And the first thing he says is that the ghosts down here, they love women with blonde hair and green eyes. And I just went, great, this is perfect for me. And I had some really cool things happen in there, too, but nothing like scary. It was like a little boy.
So you didn't steal ghosts from Scotland?
No, I didn't steal anything from Scotland.
So now we're finding out more about you, huh?
Yeah, I stole a ghost from Scotland.
That's an international incident, you know.
I know. I'm waiting for the ghost police to
Someone call the UN, because this has to be dealt
with. I stole a ghost from Scotland.
So did you ever send it back?
Yeah, it went back. It only lasted around me for a couple weeks, and then it went back.
Now, my question would be...
Did you get a picture of that?
No.
Okay. So you brought the souvenir home, and then you didn't even get to take a picture of it. Now,
it didn't really do anything exciting. It just kind of followed me around and gave me a feeling like someone was right behind me, watching me.
Now, how did it get back to Scotland?
I don't know if it went back to Scotland. Maybe it came to the ghost hunter store where everyone else drops off their stuff they don't want.
Yeah, well, sometimes I start to think that. Yes. Maybe that's where the collector gets his stuff.
That's where the collection comes from all the time. They come in here and, 14 and 9 all, you know. From two different visits.
Do people drop off their attachments here?
I think so. Yeah.
We'll have to have a special service. Yeah. Make a little back room.
Should be a safe place to drop off attachments. Should have a sign outside.
Your group is actually the group that we contacted because we were having an issue here.
Yeah.
Yes.
On the top floor of the 16 Church Street side.
Yes.
Now, you didn't make it for any of those.
Yeah, I did. I was
here. She was here for the first one.
I was here.
Yeah, she was here for the
first
14
you were
that
here.
Let go.
I was.
You were here. You walked around with him.
You walked around with us.
Was that
standing
when
upstairs.
He was drawing on the wall?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I was there for that.
Yeah, I was here for the second one. You weren't here for the second one.
All right. That was very interesting, that one, with the way it was channeling through.
Yeah, it was interesting.
He was writing, like, on the wall as if the wall was a giant chalkboard. And whatever the spirit he was channeling was giving him the information, because the spirit didn't want to talk out loud.
Right.
She was afraid that the other spirit would hear what she was saying, so he was, like, writing it out. And we had to, like, read each letter as he was writing on a giant chalkboard to get the message, though.
Oh, cool.
Very, very, very dramatic, but it was really cool, because I never experienced anything like that.
Too bad we didn't have video of it.
I could have had all my equipment sitting downstairs. I was just the client. I wasn't thinking. Because it could have done video. We didn't do video, or did you do video that night?
We didn't do video. We just took still photos.
When we were at Radley Run. Because we did a joint investigation at Radley Run Country Club.
And I sent him all the research that we did historically about the people, the names that we got, and I did send it to you.
Did you?
I did.
That's,
I even sent you the EVPs and everything.
You might want to send that again. See, that's pre-heart attack. See, I don't remember. I don't remember a lot of stuff before the heart attack. So
I sent it.
Because I would have sent it to Maureen, because she was still doing the web pages then. Did we ever do a Radley Run web page? For any of the this was the joint investigation, because remember, you and Kathy got there late.
Yeah.
So I know you were there. But I don't think we probably never even did a page for it, so we still have all the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be interesting to put up, though, because you did have all the, like, names you picked up. Because we had the guy in the basement.
Yeah. They wanted us to talk to Jonathan Farrell.
That's right. Yeah. I remember doing something with that name, now. We did. I think we told the lady at the country club. What was her name, the one we were dealing with?
Marge.
We told, but we gave her that information they were supposed to look up, because off the top of her head, she didn't know anything.
Well, he did. Jonathan Farrell was owned property in that area.
Oh, cool.
He was a farmer. I sent you this information.
And
he fought in the Battle of Brandywine.
It's starting to sound familiar.
I remember you telling me about this.
Yeah.
You read it to me, yeah.
All right, so then I did get it.
Yes.
And you did read it.
I just found out that, like, when I had the open heart surgery, which is really, this isn't really, you know, relevant, but just popped in my head, that I was, like, dead for, like, 2 hours, technically.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any, I mean, my lungs weren't working. My heart wasn't beating. They just had, like, the blood recirculating into my head and stuff. It's like I didn't have any, like, near life or experience, or it didn't float above my body or whatever.
No,
but certainly I wiped out the you know, crap memory I already had. Wiped out. Didn't help that much, because it's like I need, like, real. I'm looking through past emails and I'm like, I don't remember that. But you refresh my memory a little bit with that. But I remember upstairs, I do remember very vividly the spirit rescue.
Yes, the man that choked to death.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that was one. I use that as an example, because people ask us a lot, do we do that? And really, we don't, only in extreme circumstances where we deem it necessary.
Right.
Because I remember you even said something to me afterwards, like, about, like, whether I thought that was a good idea or whatever. But in that situation, that guy was, he was reliving the moment of death of choking on something over and over,
right,
like an endless loop. So it would be cruel, you know,
to leave him there.
I mean, since we were aware of what was going on. I mean, we even picked it up. It started with just getting that feeling on the door.
Yeah.
And it wound up, that was the back of the door where he was pounding and trying to get someone's attention. But it was like a real, real intense energy. And then Clea was there, right?
Yeah.
You guys were, like, getting her to.
We worked together and got him to go.
But the way they do it, they ask the spirits if they want to leave. They don't just force them out.
No.
They ask them if they want to
leave.
And if there's spirits that don't want to leave,
You had a spirit guide working.
Yeah, we bring in spirit guides, and we call for someone that
the sister,
loves them.
Right, his sister showed up. So, I mean, it was like a multiple approach, and it was a combination of all them, the sister and the spirit guides and the angels all just convincing him to move on, not dragging him away against his will, because
right,
you still have free will. And that's what I thought was, that's the reason when we do lectures and stuff, I give that as an example, because that's one of the few times I've ever seen, that's even better than the way we called in the angels and stuff, but we never thought of, at least with the times I was around when they did it, this is going back years, we always called on the angels and asked them to, like, move them to, like, a neutral place and see if they would go, and then they could come back.
Mm-hmm.
Never really thought of bringing, like, the loved one in to be the mediator. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was it was very impressive, and it's like when I think of Spirit Rescue now, I don't get that because I used to get that negative
view too.
It's like, we're going to have to do that. You know, this put a whole different spin on it because it was such a nice way of doing it.
Well, I impressed Dave.
Bravo. Bravo.
Because I live to impress Dave.
Because there was a couple here that didn't
just like want to be. Everyone lives to impress me, just like they want to get on TV all the time. And you started writing books just to... This was your plan all along.
It was. When I started writing books, it was because I wanted to impress Dave. You're absolutely right.
And that's, you know, that's par for the course for me. I get that a lot. So.
Oh, my.
Someone, yeah, I have to sit next
someone
to
opened the door up. I got to try to squeeze my ego out the door. Out of all the places you've been, let's stick to the United States because I've never been overseas yet, so I don't know all the. I just know the. I used to watch all the TV shows and like the castles and stuff. But you've probably been to all the cool ones, and that was
some of the cool ones.
Chillingham Castle. Still,
no, I've never been there.
Yeah, that ruined it when they did that MTV show. Anyway, and then Kristen's little. We used to have a little video. It was meant for kids.
Uh-huh.
And one of our previous directors did the audio for it. It was a slideshow of Chillingham Castle and started out with like blood and guts and flesh rended from the body and limbs torn from the torsos. That was like the first 30 seconds of stuff. I was like, oh my God, it's like for the kids. Yeah, you know, it's getting more violent stuff when you're over in Europe. Well, out of the places you've done, like around, I guess the Delaware Valley, is there anyone that like really sticks out?
As being what?
One of your favorites.
One of your favorites.
Yeah. One of your favorites.
Favorite places? A public place to go, I guess that would be?
Yeah. Yeah. None of the places you've snuck into illegally or anything like that.
And trespassing.
If you use the crowbar to get in, then don't mention
it. I won't mention it. I don't know. It's so hard to pick ones. There's so many good ones.
I know. That's why I asked that question, because people always ask that to me, too, and it's really hard to answer.
It is hard, because you think, well, you know, places like Fort Mifflin and Eastern State, you're always going to get something there.
Mm-hmm. Did you like Eastern State? I mean, overall, I mean, it's a cool place to go, but like, investigation-wise, because I know I shut down a lot because I know there's much negativity from the prisoners and stuff.
The problem with Eastern State is, well, there are certain areas that are very negative mm-hmm. you go into, but the problem is that it's so big.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't really give you enough time to do what you want to do in there.
We pretty much the last couple times we were there, we were just concentrating on.
You have to pick an
one
area.
Or two cell blocks. Cell block 12 is still my favorite,
yeah.
And I pretty much focus on that. Which, by the way, reading on their website, they now allow the paranormal investigations back into cell block 12.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
What they do is they cut the investigation. There's no paranormal investigations from September through November 15th, I think.
Right.
So that way you don't interfere with the Halloween thing. But now they do let you on the second and third tier, which they were stopping for years. Because that's to me, that's when we filmed National Geographic, they asked me, where do you want to go? I said, top of cell block 12.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want us there, but that Geo was paying, so they let us pretty much go wherever we want. But that was, that's to me, that's the best place. But we have physical activity there, but I don't open up because I'm afraid of the. I mean, there was no happy campers there. They were like solitary confinement and everything else. And what was the other one? Fort Mifflin?
And Fort Mifflin
Fort
is
Mifflin
good.
Is, that's a great place to go.
Mm-hmm.
I always like that too. Never had a, I don't remember ever having like a dull investigation there. It was always something.
Yeah, but anytime I've ever been there, I've always gotten
something.
Somebody always happens there.
Mm-hmm. And it's like psychic aspect of seeing things or feeling things mm-hmm. to getting good EVPs or to have like in stuff that you never experience anywhere else. I mean, I heard cannons fire at 2 a.m.
Yep.
And we were all laying on one of the walls. It's like, I guess, the north walls. Where it's got like grass covered at the top
because
mm-hmm. it was a nice night. It was all nice. We were laying out looking at the stars at 2 a.m. You know, because that's what ghost hunters do because you can't sit in the dark all the time. So you have to go out and get a little air. And we're just sitting, it's like maybe four or five of us, and we all jumped at the same time because we all heard it. And I used to work at the airport right across there. I know all the sounds that you hear there. That was no barge. That was nothing coming from the oil. It's nothing from the airport. That was cannon firing. If you've heard a cannon fire. It mm-hmm. sounds very unique,
yes.
And it was two shots of a cannon firing in the mm-hmm. middle of the night, and it wasn't Wayne out there with the cannon, you know, fired at us. So, also we heard some gunshots too another time. Mm-hmm. Now, given where we are, we were just at the outskirts of Philadelphia. The gunshots might have been real gunshots. Not willing to say whether that was coming from the fort.
Because we've been to other places where we've stood outside and heard gunshots.
But the cannons things were really cool. What, did you have any like traumatic stuff, like physical stuff happen? Because I've heard like people having stuff thrown at them.
Fort Mifflin, we did have stuff thrown at us one time. We had a stick thrown at us and a rock. In Casemate 5.
That's in the casemate.
We had a lady in yesterday that she was talking about that. And the light, they have the hanging lights that are like, you have the mechanic lights.
Yes.
That was ripped off and flew at them because the husband didn't believe anything was going on. It like flew completely across the room in Casemate 5.
Right.
It's like every time someone mentions something, it's Casemate 5.
Whatever's in Casemate 5 broke my camera.
Really?
Yeah, my 35mm camera.
Well, that's where, didn't you get an apparition
it was an accidental apparition when we were doing the History Channel thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen was just walking around with my camera, and she had it on the wrist strap, and it was off. It was the camera that you had to, like, slide the old Olympus, you had to slide the panel across to even turn it on. So it was completely shut off. There's no way it could take a picture. It took a picture. It even got the camera, the boom guy holding the microphone. It got part of him in it, too. So he knew it was a real picture with the lens open and a faceless, dark apparition there. And that's what they always talk about, the one guy who sits in the casemate is a faceless apparition.
Right, a faceless man.
So that was, like, the first apparition photo we ever got. I got it with a camera I wasn't carrying and was off dangling around someone's wrist.
They have one that a fourth grader took at Fort Mifflin. They'll show it to you if you go there, and it's really clearly a soldier in Revolutionary War clothing.
Nice, very nice.
See, I thought it looked like a pirate.
I think it looks like a Revolutionary War soldier.
We have the whole pirate. We have that weird pirate thing.
Yeah.
See, on every show we have to mention pirates somehow. That's a good way to segue. get the pirate mentioned.
Get me started on pirates, you know, because I do all that work at the Plank House.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to get the invite this year for the Buccaneer Ball.
Okay.
I had
the invite last year.
And you didn't show up. I know.
I didn't think it was serious.
So, where's the uncomfortable silence
invite?
There? There needed to be
awkward.
I didn't think it was a serious invite.
Yes, it's very.
It's
we
rent
up. We rent a hall. We do it up. It's yeah. We take pirating seriously.
I didn't think he was actually expecting me to come. I just thought he invited everyone, like a blanket invitation.
No, actually, we waited by the door.
Everybody to come.
Yeah, I know.
It's like
I gave you the bad news a couple weeks before that, and I said I will try to come, but I don't think I'll be able to.
That was my first like social outing after I almost died.
Yeah.
And she couldn't even show up. Anyway, there we go. Uncomfortable silence.
But you guys do have to see that picture. That is pretty incredible.
Yeah,
picture.
The picture is really good.
Yeah.
That you just mentioned the Plank House too, which is I've been out there a couple times. You still do stuff out there for them?
Yeah.
Tell us about the Plank House, because that's one of those places I think if you're not in the area, you don't know what it is.
It is. It's this really, really cool house, circa 1720, and they believe that Blackbeard's mistress lived there.
Another pirate mention.
But she's not the one that haunts the house, unfortunately. But it's built of ship planks, and they're all held together by tongue and groove at the corners. So if you pull out one of the planks, the whole house would fall down.
Oh, wow.
So it's amazing that it's still even there. And it is haunted.
They're still doing a dig there?
Yeah, yes. They're still doing a dig there. There's a ghost of a woman that's been seen, of a little girl that's upstairs that's been seen, and a man that's been seen in the basement and coming up out of the basement.
So how come we haven't been back there?
You know what? It's one of those places.
Because I make them charge people money now to go in there.
Okay.
Because they were letting everybody come in for free.
How come we haven't gone back there?
Yeah, well, you guys, it's not that much compared to...
No, it's not,
too.
But all the money goes to the preservation of the place.
Well,
and
it's worth it.
And
yeah,
that
definitely.
Is something different
yeah,
than
see,
places
different.
Charging for you know the sheer profit or you know or the way they some places, it's almost extortion what they're going to charge.
No, we need like about $500,000 to restore the house the way it should be. So all the money we have
goes to something
goes
good.
Towards that stuff.
Yeah, let's go there. That's
good.
A good place.
Let's go, man.
You can't bring a big team. But, I mean, if we did multiple trips with, like,
team
small teams,
mm-hmm.
it's still worth it. And
so
it goes to
I thought we had mentioned that before, but it was that it was small and that we wouldn't be able to get a lot of people.
Then we just go more than once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone gets a chance to go. But
yeah, there was a group that broke it up into two trips.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really cool place. We actually did some training there. I can think of the one training class. Because I remember I swore, I don't know how big the pit is now in the one room where they were digging out where they thought
the kitchen was.
Yeah. It was still probably a 3 or 4 foot drop, and they let us go like right up to the edge, which I didn't go anywhere near because I figured I'm going to cave the whole thing in. But one of our big investigators, John, he was walking around the whole edge of the pit. It's like, he's going to fall in. I know it. And I'm going to have to, I'm in charge. I'm the director. I'm going to have to explain why to this university, why I like, they,
why
they
you destroyed their dig
right,
site.
Exactly. They've been digging there for like a year, you know, or more. And then we go out there looking for ghosts and we just totally crash the whole thing in on top of it.
Uh-huh.
And the whole house, then one plank would fall out. The whole thing would crash
down.
Dave
can't
go. But right. The rest of us can go.
That's like the time we were at the Betsy Ross house. Did you ever get to go in there?
The Betsy Ross house, I've been in there once because someone that we knew worked there.
That was a cool place, but the time
nothing
we went...
really happened when
we got
there.
See, we got stuff there, but nothing about Betsy Ross. One of the previous directors apparently died of a heart attack at his desk up on the third floor, which they use as an office.
Right.
And we didn't know that, but we kept picking up on a guy. And that was just the ghostly part. It was cool being in the historical part anyway, because they let us behind the scenes. But I remember one guy went and moved a table. It's like, that's been sitting there for like, ever since the house was like sealed off with plexiglass. It's like an original object, and you thought you wanted to move it. Thank God it was like, there's marks on the floor where you could see it. And the director, she was cool with it. She just went and moved it back and didn't say anything. But it was like, jeez.
Well, I will say one of the coolest places to go to that you can't go to anymore and that was really haunted was the General Wayne Inn. That was a really cool place.
I did get a chance to do that.
Yeah, I did do that. So. It was a really great place. And you can't go there anymore. But
it's a different owner?
A synagogue now.
Oh, well,
it's actually open to the public. I mean, you can go in there.
My wife happens to be part Jewish.
So you could get
so
in there.
They have classes and things like that there.
I don't think they'd like you coming in with your cameras and your...
You never know. We assume. I've done Lutheran, Methodist, and Catholic churches, too, investigations in. So you can't just assume that because it's a religious place, they wouldn't.
Well,
they're not going to publicly let anybody in.
Well, when I talked to him, he said that they got rid of all the ghosts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe they did do something.
You replaced darkness with light. Well, from what I saw when I was there... all the ghosts were hanging around the outside.
Where there is that.
He just pushed them
outside. The cool cemetery out back there.
Yeah, so he just pushed them outside.
Gotcha.
We were there. It was months after. It was the owners who bought it from the people that the owners, like one killed the other.
From Jim Webb and Guy Saleo.
Yeah. When
Abilene had it?
Abilene, yeah. Mm-hmm. We were in there, and they still had, they actually bought it as is, so the original furniture was in there.
Right.
So... the one girl who was getting a real sharp pain in her head, she was actually sitting in the chair that he was shot in. Because it was just missing one armrest, and that was in police lockup because it had bloodstains on it. Because the manager came up and we were telling her what this girl was getting in here, and I didn't know where it happened. I knew what had happened there.
Right.
And they said that right where the chair is, there's a cold piece of carpet missing. There's like a throw rug over it because that carpet was cut up and put in police lockup too. So it's like, well, that explains your headache then. But that's pretty much that. Was overwhelming everything else that when we were there that night.
Mm-hmm.
So we really didn't get any of the other cool historic stuff. That's listed in all the old books too, like the haunted places.
Yeah, I've seen it in the books. I've never gotten it.
That's like the old school stuff. Now that's a place that hasn't been on TV, so the general public doesn't know about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the general public's not going to get in there unless they join.
So there's a convert. You can convert and then you can investigate a really cool haunted place.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's an option.
I'll stay and clean up to
that. That's hardcore ghost hunting. Then, if you want to do that,
or they could just come to the ghost hunter store and investigate a really cool place.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. I took you through the little walkthrough when we had opened up for the grand opening. Mm-hmm. The groups we've had out of all come down smiling at the end of the night. So they've gotten a lot of cool stuff. We got a whole. I haven't gone through all their evidence, but we've got video clips and
video
CDs
clips.
And EVPs. The one group got like 30 EVPs.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So we were up there one night, the one group, remember we were sitting in the front room, and we're looking out in the hallway, and there's a guy standing there in the hallway.
Right. Well, that was the night they got a picture of the shadow in that area.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I'll have to check out all the evidence.
It should be on one
of
the CDs, yeah.
Cool. So you guys had cooler stuff, though, because that was the night that I think the latch, the whole doorway was opened up.
Oh, yeah.
I told
yeah.
you that someone had gone up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you need people to deal with... ghosts that like to collect things or like to hide in little cubby holes. You can call Tri-County Paranormal.
That's right.
They specialize in that.
Yeah, we specialize in the troublesome ghosts that don't want to leave.
And do you guys what do you mainly do? Is it private houses and historical places, a mix of both?
We do a mix of both. You know, I mean, because you do private houses and that's great and everything, but you get a little burnout from doing that all the time. And it's nice to go, just pay, go somewhere and have a good time.
Amen.
There you go.
People don't understand that either. It's like, what do you do for fun? Well, you know, we go away. We went to Lizzie Borden for the weekend to look for ghosts.
You go to fun haunted places.
It's like, and what you're doing that in lieu of going to places looking for ghosts. It's like,
Yeah.
Pretty much. There's no way to paint it up any different. Yeah, that's what we do for fun.
Where are you going tonight? We're going to a cemetery. Why? Because that's what I like to do.
Cemeteries, I like them anyway. They're very relaxing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are.
We don't get to do them too much anymore.
Yeah, I haven't done a cemetery in a long time.
So what other haunted places around here that if people were interested in coming to the Delaware Valley? Because the Pike House, I kind of forgot about. It's a place that
everyone kind of forgets about it, but you can go there.
Yeah. You got Eastern State. Everyone kind of knows that one. You got Fort Mifflin. That's a popular one, too. But are there any less? Well, Bolton Mansion, I guess, is another good one.
Yeah, the Bolton Mansion is good.
Smithville. Where?
Smithville.
Smithville where?
Mansion.
They don't do it for public. They don't let people in publicly. Mm-hmm. Just your old group and us. We're the only two that have been out there. But I'm actually going to propose that to them, that they should open up and allow groups in, because we're going to try to do something through the store with them to do it, like we do with Gabriel Davies Tavern.
Most places, well, it's a good way to raise money.
It is. It's a good fundraiser.
Yeah, and it's especially when it enables places that, it's easy. Like the Gabriel Davies.
It doesn't cost them anything.
Right. They just need to spend the 4 hours maybe out of their time with one or two people there to open the place up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which is another reason why I don't have a problem with paying, because I think if a volunteer has to give up their Friday or Saturday night to sit there so I can investigate, that the place should get something.
Definitely, yes.
Now, do you ever run into the thing where, this is my pet peeve about, I'm all for historical places charging, I have no problem with that, but where they start, the price really goes up astronomical, and now they're, because the film crews have been out there, and obviously film crews, production companies, all that stuff, they carry liability insurance.
Right.
I don't know if you guys have liability insurance. I don't know of any local group personally that has liability insurance.
I was told that we didn't need to have liability insurance because you're covered anyway.
You can sign a hold harmless agreement with the location.
Right.
Or a release of releasing them from any harm or any injuries, and that's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
But like, there's places now that are, not only are they charging like quadruple what any group could probably scratch together, in a year. I'm not going to mention the name of the place, but I know the location. It's an island somewhere down. You have to take a boat out to. But
yes, I'm familiar with this place, and you know what really, really gets me ticked off about that place is that the only reason that the TV shows knew about that place being haunted was because people like us had gone down there and done stuff and published it on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the past,
now you got them started.
There might have been TV shows that contacted me and asked, like, this is in the early days of when the shows were starting, and there wasn't a whole, ton of them. Mm-hmm. Like, what's some good places to go? And I figured it's good for some of these historic places to get the publicity.
Mm-hmm.
That just turned into a monster that I can never put back.
Don't
in the
ever
bottle.
Help a television show.
Because
it will just come back to bite you in the end.
Well, pretty much, unless I'm going to, but we're on it or we're doing something, we're going to benefit and get publicity or some sort of benefit from it, or it's going to benefit a location that needs the publicity. It's going to bring something in for them. Then I tell them I'm not going to do what you're paying assistant directors, to do that stuff. They're trying to take a shortcut to get me to do their work for them.
Yep.
And that doesn't work. So, but that location, the unnamed location, I think it's like $1,500 now for a group, and plus you have to have
liability.
I think it's like $1 million is what they're $1 million coverage. Now, like, I have it through the store, so that means my group, I could actually get it. Make it a store thing. But the average group doesn't have that. And
well,
there's no chance of them getting a policy for like 100.
Someone's film company that's in our group.
But you have to go a roundabout way to do it.
But I think that it's disgusting what they're doing, so I refuse to give them any money.
I agree, and that's why we haven't gone.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, South Jersey went out like, I guess it was like 12 years ago we did that place.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking like a long time ago, and that's what we had it up on the web, and we talked about it at lectures and things that happened, and then TV show comes out, next thing you know, this place that wasn't charging. I mean, they used to charge you for, like, the boat, you know,
right.
the fee for the boat and someone to stay out there. A legitimate cost.
A legitimate fee.
That $1,500, it's like, that's, you know, you're robbing somebody. You really are shaking down, taking advantage of.
Well, that price, are you seeing any
especially
help?
With what I'm, with what I'll tell you about that place, is not that haunted.
No.
Right, but it's been on TV. See, a lot of the people
but
who
it's
are,
not really, it's not as haunted as other places you can go for a lot less money.
Right. And I think that the economy is only going to stand that so long. Judging by the I've seen already two local places readjust. The sound is really low. Let me see if I can turn it up a little bit. Then I'll get back to what I was saying. That might make a little bit of a difference. Although we are talking, we are low talking tonight.
Do we need to talk louder?
All right. We'll see if they say something about the volume now. I cranked it up a little bit. But I can, two places that I know of have, within the past 6 months, have readjusted their payment. Things to either allow for smaller groups to go in because they're not getting large enough,
yes.
or what their hourly or per night fee has been. And I think you're going to see that going across the board everywhere because a year or 2 years ago, at the height of all this, you were getting every weekend filled. I was just checking out some schedules at some local places, and I saw more blanks on
yes.
weekends than booked. The economy can only bear so much.
Yeah, sure.
And when you start, it's ridiculous. What I understand is fundraising for some, but you have to make it affordable for the people. Otherwise, you're not raising any funds if it's out of the reach of everyone to go. And the discrepancy in the going to like same locations too. I don't like that either. Where you can go to one location for $50 one night, and the same location is $250 the next night, depending on who happens to be there. And it's the same location. Are you going for a meet and greet to meet somebody famous, because that's a little different than it shouldn't be presented as an investigation of a location.
Right. Yeah.
It should be presented what it is.
A circus.
Yeah.
Good point. Well said.
Yes, I had the misfortune of being at one of those. That will never happen again. Thank God I didn't pay to go in there. If I paid to go in there, I would have been mad.
Yeah, I was at one too, and that same thing. I was invited by somebody to go, so I didn't.
If I paid like $250 whatever dollars,
that's what it was the night I was there too. So.
I would have been furious. I would have wanted my money back.
Yeah, because you're paying to investigate with that person, and
right.
How much time do you get with that person, if any?
And there was no investigating because there were so many people in there. Like you were literally tripping
it
over
was
each
fan
other.
Fest.
Yeah.
That's what it was fan fest.
It was a nightmare. There was no investigation going on.
It should have just been like in a motel or hotel lobby with black and white glossies at a table. You stand in line, you get a thing signed, get a picture with them, and you're done. I mean, that's pretty much what people wanted out of it. See, that the groupie aspect of it, or the people that are in it just for the entertainment portion of it, they're the ones that are causing the rise and increase of these locations too, because they're willing to pay that ridiculous sum to spend a night at these places. The regular investigators are suffering because of that too.
Mm-hmm.
So if anything, I mean, there's a lot of good that the TV shows and the media push have done, making it known that there's groups out there, that the regular people doing this, but it also is taking its toll on us because it's jacked up the places and put some places completely out of reach. Because I know there's a couple places, talking with Tina, that out west, there's a couple places now because of the way the shows have handled the filming or whatever, the production and what they've actually put on the screen and how it represented what actually happened. During filming, they've now banned paranormal investigators because they questioned the credibility of everybody.
I don't blame them.
It's TV. TV is not necessarily really what's going on.
No, TV is not real.
It's 45 minutes with the commercials.
Yep.
And it's not really what happened during the week of filming.
Well, this is what I tell all my classes. I know you came in here because you watch TV shows. You don't have to be embarrassed about it. It's okay to watch TV shows. But just recognize they're for entertainment. Mm-hmm. That's what they're there for. They're there to make money. Okay? They don't do any... It's not real.
Yeah, no.
What you're watching is not
real. No, we've had a couple people come out to investigations, and they sat there and go, well, we're leaving because we're bored. What were you expecting? If you were watching TV and expecting that to happen, then yes, you were very bored.
Well, we could just do that for them. We could just walk around and go, do you hear that? What was that?
Did you hear that?
What was that? I say we could do that all night with them.
Okay, I did a TV show with someone who is still in the TV, I guess in the TV area. So I won't mention any names, but every time there was a lull, this person would scream, something just went right through me. Oh, it was God. All I could do to keep from laughing every time this person would do it. Because it was just ridiculous. Every time there was a lull.
See, but they're encouraged to do that, too.
I mean, it is. It's entertainment. Some of these investigations that are entertainment, have at it. Let the people have fun. Let them, you know, as long as it's not dangerous and nobody's getting hurt.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just watch them and you think, if anybody in my group ever screamed like that in an investigation, that'd be the last time you investigated with me.
But that's why it's so important to have training. I mean, it's more important nowadays than any other time for groups to have training.
So you train your people too, right?
Yes, I do.
That's the thing. That's the argument we had with Frank last week about how irresponsible it is to actually train people beforehand.
Yeah.
You should just send them into the investigation not knowing anything. It's ridiculous that you actually teach them what to do.
No, I prefer that they take some kind of class. Some kind of classroom hours.
To me, that boggles the mind. It makes no sense, because you definitely wouldn't want them to know anything. I mean, I saw, which was a Ghost Hunter Academy. Those guys didn't know anything. They were going through and just thrown in there.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Here's a piece of equipment. Now go show us you know how to use it.
That seemed to work out pretty good for them. So I'm going to apply that to our group. We're canceling all training from here on out.
No more training.
That's right. We got to get people who don't like have the same beliefs as us on the show.
Yes.
We really do. Because we really don't get enough out of it.
It's basically, we just all agree. It's like one big happy thing. We need that like hardball kind of attitude where it's like, what do you mean? I can mean it. You know? I can storm off because I'm so aggravated. Yeah.
We're taking a commercial break now.
You hear the microphones fall all over and everything. Like some sort of scuffle. Now you've done TV shows. You know, did you ever have an instance where they wanted you to maybe act a little bit or put a little more into it or do something a certain way just because it would look better on camera?
Every time I've done a TV show, they will do takes and takes and takes until they get what they want.
So that's I remember the one
they
did.
They break you down, huh?
Everyone got thank you. Everyone got thank you like cards and like things except for us. It's because every time they wanted us to do anything, it was like the circus kind of stuff. You know, I wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. And it's like I'm sure I cut down the amount of time we actually were on air for the show because of my lack of cooperation. But I wasn't going to do anything I really wouldn't do in reality just because it's TV. I'm not going to say anything a certain way just because it just looks better. It, to me, that's, you know, it's TV, it's entertainment, but if you're coming to us as legitimate researchers and for that reason, then treat us like that. If you're coming to people who are just ghost hunters and they play that on TV, I'm not a ghost hunter, but I play one on TV, then that person, that's who you need for that kind of stuff. Right? Mm-hmm. That's why even the one place, who I won't mention, MSNBC, this is like 10 years ago.
Oh, boy.
They wanted us to work around the meter that made a sound. But the meter that all of the meters we were using didn't make sounds, the ones you could walk around with at the time.
Right.
So they actually used the sound from our radios turning on, which went like boop, 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 boop. They took that sound and then overlaid it. So when the person's walking around with the meter, that's the sound you hear going, to make it seem like the meter was going off and detecting stuff. And that was one of the places that like they didn't like, because I kept stopping them and, you know, cut. I was doing that, put my hand up, blocking the camera. So, but did it make the whole show, putting the sound effect in there? It really didn't. I don't think I'd ever do that again.
What? Something interesting?
Some people in the chat board share our enthusiasm for some of the TV shows. Where cancels used, let's put it that way. Or should be. Should be and canceled are used in the same sentence. You put it together.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy.
I'm hearing that more and more, though. A lot of the TV shows that are starting to tap the real everyday paranormal investigator people are finding that it's a bit of a rebellion. And a lot of people are not cooperating anymore.
Yeah.
Well, because it's...
Well, if you're going to get people that are doing it and really doing it, they're not going to...
It's not
going to
look like what you see already.
Exactly. And so, they've got to make a decision, but there is a bit of a...
See, but that comes back to burn some people, too. Like, with Brian and John on Haunted Collector. Mm-hmm. You know, that show, I liked that show, actually. That was one of the few that I did like. But I know that they filmed for 3 or 4 days there.
Yep.
It's 45 minutes or a half hour or whatever it is of that whole week filming there. And they're putting together a cohesive story just for you to watch that 30 minutes. It's not a reasonable representation of any of the investigating.
No.
People who are new in this field watch that, and the people who believe that it is, and they're looking, well, that's crap. You know, it's like that.
Boring.
They couldn't do that. Yes. It's real. I mean, they're just showing the real. Maybe the real thing isn't as entertaining as everyone thought it was.
The real thing is not as entertaining as it is on television. A lot of times you will sit there. It's just like hunting or fishing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times you'll sit there and nothing happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know we spend a lot of time thinking about where we're going to go eat afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, or
I do know that sometimes if nothing's happening, it's best to sit down and just have a conversation about what was going on in your week, because that's when the spirits try and chime in at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but a lot of times we'll sit there and just.
Yeah, do you do stuff like that? Because the only time I worked with you, I watched you work here, but then at Radley Run, where you were going and you were more focused of doing the content because you have a. Everyone is sensitive, that's my belief, but you have your abilities are like ahead of the pack, so you're able to go in there and see much more. So you were in there really proactively going through everything. Do you hit spots where there's like dead spots where there's nothing?
Yeah.
And you just like have to like just not even try, and you find that's when stuff may come through, or
do you mean?
You always have to be turned on? I know sometimes the best way, when I'm trying to teach new people to like learn how to do this, I tell them the best way to look for ghosts is not look for ghosts.
Right.
Think of something completely else. Let's talk about what you did last week, you know, or see any good movies lately, and have that conversation on the case. That's when stuff will start to happen, or they'll start to notice stuff because they're not concentrating anymore.
Right.
Do you do both, or do you have to focus to actually be like turned on or off, kind of?
I will walk around and see where I'm drawn to, and usually if I'm drawn to a place, it's because there is a spirit there that wants to communicate. Now, we will have at least two psychics on an investigation. Sometimes we'll both pick up on different things, and that's normal, and that happens.
But you get those lulls. You get those where the spirit's
done
talking.
You do get ones where they're done talking, and they leave, and they go on with whatever they do in the spirit world.
You just hit an interesting point, too, where two psychics together, but picking
up on two different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people would take that as, well, that proves that you're both crazy, you're both making stuff up. You know,
it doesn't work like that. They
might be making stuff up too. We don't know, but I mean, but ultimately, that does happen. It's something that's hard to explain to people who don't understand how it works. That because you could be tuning in on one level
energy, and on another level.
Mm-hmm. See, now you've heard it again.
See that?
Hopefully, that sinks into some people.
Well, if any,
because that's one of the things I hear is used as like an excuse for debunking people with any kind of abilities.
Well, if they don't understand it, if they know how to use an EMF meter. Each EMF meter picks up on a different wavelength, too.
You can put two right next to each other,
and only one picks up.
Those people are the one who call the next day and say, my mouth was going off, but the cell sensor wasn't. The cell sensor is broken. Yeah, they don't understand that that's reading different levels of energy, just like the person does.
Right, exactly. It's exactly what happens.
So you also do stuff down the shore. You got anything coming up that you want to plug?
Oh, we'll be at Elaine's next weekend.
What date's that?
So you're going to ask me for the date?
Is it the 20th?
Yeah, I'll look.
You're going to ask me for the date?
Well, that when people hear the podcast, they're not like driving down the lanes like in November. You know, they said next week.
We are at Elaine's
20th, 27th?
Haunted Mansion.
20th?
The 20th. I know it's the weekend of August 20th.
Okay, yep. That's the Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And you do, what kind of event down there is
it's
that?
It's a paranormal investigation for the public can come and you pay and you get to investigate. In the Haunted Mansion and in the theater section, in the basically the downstairs of the house. It used to be a mansion, but now it's a bed and breakfast.
And Cape May is a very, very haunted and cool
Cape
place
May
to go.
Cape May is a really cool place to go.
I love bed and breakfast. I love being able to take the place and sleep in overnight.
Cape May is probably one of my favorite places to go.
I think it
go.
Has like the highest concentration of haunted places in one area that I've ever been in.
And that's the admitted haunted places.
Yes.
You add everyone else in who's not telling the truth.
And that's true, too. There are some down there. They're like,
no. The lady, one of the ladies who owned the columns or one of the bed and breakfasts down there, she told me it was like she said like 10% of the people will admit and like 80% of the other, you know, are haunted. they think it's going to, you know, detract or take away from their business or scare people away. And I don't think it scares as many people away as they think. I think it actually brings more people in. Well, look at Gettysburg.
Well, the people that aren't into it don't care whether it's haunted or not. Only the people that are into it will come if they think it's haunted. So.
All right, we're going to get ready to wrap up here.
Okay.
Thank you, Lori, for coming in.
We're
going to have you on again.
Yes, thank you.
So much fun.
It was a good time.
It's not your typical radio show. Yeah. I kind of just talk about whatever pops in my head at the time.
Exactly.
If I actually got more sleep and I had time to plan, I would have better questions. I would have like a list of questions for you. Next time, I would have a list of questions. I actually used to do that. Now it's like I just actually get up and get in the car and drive and, you know, drive out here. All right, we'll see you next week, everybody.
Thank you.
See you later.